Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Looks like I have notes for 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you, for indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, proving for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oft times proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent, upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have then, this is the second missionary journey of Paul. And during that second missionary journey, there was a collection for the saints. First of all, there was a need made known. And the need that was made known to the churches, not only of Antioch. Remember, that's where Agabus said that there's this great dearth that's coming. But not only that, but that there would be a kind of understanding of what was going to happen in Jerusalem to all of the churches then. News went not only into Asia Minor to those churches, but continue west, continue on out to the end of Asia Minor and across the Peloponnesian Sea into what is today called Greece, Macedonia in the north and Achaia in the south, where the Corinthian church is in the south, in the north where Thessalonica and Philippi are. And so that's where these churches are that Paul is talking about when he says these Macedonian churches. Now, what had happened is that there had been a deputation sent, the need was made known, and there was a commitment made on the part of the churches to relieve the poor saints in Jerusalem, upon whom this dearth was ready to come. All right, so there had something had taken place in Corinth such that there was an expectation of them having fulfilled that commitment before now, and they had not yet fulfilled it. I want you to see, as we read this passage, that Paul doesn't accuse them of reneging or drawing back on their commitment, but instead what he does is he places the best construction possible on it, and we see this here in about the end of the first third of this chapter, or maybe toward the middle of it. Verse 11, notice, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not." The construction that Paul is putting on this is perhaps you have delayed because you don't think that the collection that you have made already is large enough to send. I don't want you to think that way, Paul says. Make the commitment, and whatever it is, the Lord will make use of it. You don't need to worry about that it is that you don't have everything that you want to send. You don't need to worry about that. You need, first of all, the willing mind. You have that. You need, second of all, something to send, and you have that. It's according to what you have and not according to what you don't have. And that's what Paul means by that. And so there's some wonderful examples here that we can learn from. The first example is that Paul places the best construction, not the worst construction, on what's going on in Corinth. I know why you've delayed. It's because you don't have enough money to give, you think, yet. Go ahead and give what you have. The Lord will make use of it. Do that first. Secondly, there is something to be said for the Corinthian church wanting to send more than they had collected and yet not being able. So wanting above their desire. That is a commendable desire, to want to be able to send more than they had to send. That's also commendable on their part. Third, there is a wonderful use that the apostle makes of the Macedonian churches, not to shame Corinth. It's obvious that Paul is not shaming Corinth into giving. He's already placed a very wonderful construction on this. He is simply using their example to encourage them to that thing that they had promised to do, because it will be good for them to follow through on the commitment that they have made. Brothers and sisters, when something goes forth from our lips, we ought to make it good. The Corinthians had made the commitment, and now, even though that may not have been everything that they wanted, Paul tells them to fulfill that. We don't want to get into the habit of making commitments and then allaying it and delaying it and putting it off and putting it off, such that we... And many of you have already seen this happen in perhaps things that you yourselves have said or others have said. You say it, and then it's so long in abeyance that it kind of falls into disuse. We don't want to do that. We want to make a commitment, and then we want to follow through on it. We want to make sure that we're honoring those things that come forth from our lips. So notice all of the good things that are going on in this chapter. There's a willingness to give. There's a gift collected. There's a wanting to be able to do more. There's a good example on the part of the churches in Macedonia. There is Paul's placing the best construction on this. There is this great heart of the Corinthian church. But notice also what Paul says about the Macedonian churches. And it is an interesting turn of phrase that the apostle uses. Okay, so he's talking about those churches in Macedonia, but and that even in the midst of the great trial of their affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, what Paul means by that is, okay, the Macedonian churches are suffering right now. How did they find some comfort in their suffering? By being of service to others. Take a step back for a minute and think about that. How did they find comfort in their affliction? By being service to others. Listen to what Paul says. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. What's he saying? Well, they were undergoing some great difficulty, but they took such great joy at the opportunity to be of service to others that it had a mitigating effect on their suffering, on their afflictions. This is opposite what we hear today. It's opposite the pop culture. It's opposite pop psychology. But it is indeed biblical that one of the ways that we work through affliction is by, I know, seeking commiseration from others. Nope. I know, feeling sorry for myself. Nope. I know, making everyone else miserable around me so they'll suffer with me. None of those things are true. What does the Bible say? Paul says they found great comfort in being of service to others in the midst of their affliction. That's good advice. That's true psychology. True soul work. Right? Okay. Notice what else goes on here. So far were they being afflicted, Paul says they did something that was completely unexpected. I didn't expect it from them. But notice what they did. First of all, they did not as we had hoped. Or, can I put it this way? Beyond what we had hoped. Because first, they gave themselves in their hearts to the work. And then they did it. They didn't come in the midst of their affliction and say, okay, well, this is our duty, so we have to do it. And they didn't have any desire for it. No, first, even in the midst of their affliction, they had a great desire. And then they followed through on that desire. They first gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave themselves to the work. What a great example, then, the Macedonian church has proved to be in the midst of Achaia. As Paul related to this church in Achaia, Corinth, that great example. So I suppose that we might draw back from that for a moment and say that Paul had a great confidence in the Corinthian church that they would not misuse the example. And let's search our own hearts here to understand what potential temptations are when we hear of good examples. What are some of those potential temptations? Well, there's a prideful me-too-ism, right? Right? Don't we hear that from time to time? That we don't rejoice in the good example of others unless we can share in that limelight. Me too. I can do that. Right? I remember once hearing a popular musician. We went to a concert of his a long, long time ago. And he said, He gave some other author of a song that he was about to perform in this concert credit for it. And he said, oh, I wish I had written this song. Well, that was a good tip of the hat to the man who had written it and not a me too-ism, right? Not look at the songs I've written too. The temptation when we hear of a good example is just to want ourselves to be able to catch some of that glory as well. Let's put that away. Paul has a great confidence in the Corinthian church here that they will not do that, but that they will take that good example and make a right use of it, that they would indeed follow on with their commitments that they had made. So it's a great chapter. It's a great chapter that tells us that this relief work was much wider than the local region that was suffering, that the heart of the Christian people were for those that they had not met, and yet they had heard of them through the teaching and sending of the deputation of the men that had come to them, that there was indeed a willingness, a heart to do the work, that there was heart remedy for affliction by being of service. And then the final thing that I want you to make notice of is the uprightness and honesty and the trustworthiness of the whole procedure. Notice that Titus is not going alone to bring a gift back. There's someone that's sent with him, that everything might appear not only good in the sight of God, but good in the sight of men as well, preserving that reputation. We hear very, very often today about churches and men in the church misappropriating, misallocating, misusing funds that are given for the Lord's sake. The Lord is able to take up for Himself in that. The Lord will indeed severely deal with those who rob Him in that way. But notice here that there's a chain of custody. There is a right appropriation, a good procedure, so that the church is not blamable in any of these things. And then finally, there is this deputation and the authorization of that deputation. Titus didn't take it upon himself. The other men didn't take it upon themselves, but they were sent by the church to go to do this ministry. All right, thus ends the reading of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's